Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about tikka masala.
The cravings.
Yes. Yes. This is, y'all, I did the research for this yesterday and I immediately ordered a lot of Indian takeout that night.
I looked up how to make chicken tikka masala and was immediately deterred. Not because it was super hard, but I just didn't have a lot of that stuff. Like, that would have been a lot of substitutions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a pretty... You can make substitutions, but yes.
To have maybe a half, I would say. Half of the ingredients.
Oh,
that's a different thing.
That's a different dish at that point, probably.
Yes. But I love chicken tikka masala. I have made it before, just not now, unfortunately. Mm. I will say I ate a lot of it when I was in Britain, but not a lot of it at all when I was in India, which might speak to its history, which is a teaser.
Yeah, spoiler, OMG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not my favorite dish, but it's tasty. I just got a big old tray of it from your Decab Farmers Market a couple weeks ago, and it was a really, really, really nice comfort food.
It is indeed. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And doing this research reminded me of when we got to interview Mirwan Irani, who's a chef who's gotten 4 dang James Beard nominations for serving Indian street food at his restaurants in Asheville, North Carolina, and here in Atlanta. Because he explained that the foods that are served, especially buffet style, at many Indian restaurants in the United States— are what he calls, like, wedding banquet food, stuff that most folks in India would only eat at, like, a kind of fancy catered party. And furthermore, that saying Indian food like it's a monolith is pretty ridiculous to begin with, because India has over 1 billion people with just, like, countless regional foodstuffs and recipes and preferences and traditions and influences. So it's not just the one thing.
Oh, yeah. And that was certainly my experience when I was in India. I loved hearing conversations about northern Indian food versus southern Indian food and then breaking it down even more than that. And I love how because I did get to travel pretty widely when I was in India. And just, you know, everybody wants to share that special dish from their region.
Oh,
and it was so different. And China's the same way. I'm pretty sure I've told this story before. But in my experience, most of Chinese food in the United States is specifically from Hong Kong. And that's, like, it.
Yeah.
And it's just so, it is a huge category of all these different food items and taste. And it was all delicious. And I miss it and crave it almost all the time.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, it's so hard with foods that you just can't get around here. Yeah.
I know, and some of them I don't even know what they were. Like, I can't even...
Sure.
Like, I think it was tofu. It's not like any tofu I've had. I brought that up before, and somebody did help me find out what that might have been. It's like a bean noodle sheet thing. It sounds weird, but it's delicious.
Oh, I believe you. Oh,
anyway.
Anyway.
Let's get to our question.
Yes.
Redirect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tikka masala. What is it?
Well, tikka masala can be many things, but at its heart, it's a dish of, like, chunks of usually some kind of protein simmered in a pureed tomato sauce with some kind of dairy, yogurt, and or cream, and some kind of oil, preferably ghee, which is a browned clarified butter, to make that pureed tomato sauce creamy. And then that sauce is spiced warm with a blend including things like coriander, cumin, cardamom, cloves, cinnamon, things that don't start with the letter C, like turmeric, peppercorns, plus some ginger, garlic, and onion, maybe chili paste or chili powder. The protein is often chicken, but can be anything from goat to fish to chunks of a semi-soft fresh cheese, paneer. And the result is this rich, saucy, savory dish that's served hot with a rice and or flatbread, like just the most stalwart creamy tomato soup.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's another art project, stalwart creamy tomato soup. I'm going to workshop this.
Excellent. So let's break all of this down just a little bit more, though, because, as I understand it, tikka basically means bits or pieces of stuff, and most often indicates that the stuff in question has been marinated in yogurt and lemon juice and spices and then grilled, like, hot and quick until it's charred on the outside and juicy on the inside. So good. And masala just means spices and indicates like a blend of ground spices. And what's in that blend will vary depending on the cook and on the blend's purpose. Like Irani, Marwan Irani also has a brand of packaged spices called Spice Walla. It's excellent. They ship. Check them out if you're looking for spices right now. But they sell like a tandoori masala, a pakora masala, a chai masala, a chaat masala, blends that are inspired by or intended for each of those dishes. So it's just a spice blend. And the ingredients in the tandoori masala include garam masala. So it's a spice blend within a spice blend. And garam, by the way, just means hot. But it's like heating, not in the hot, spicy sense, but rather in like the Ayurvedic sense. Of warming the body. So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so properly, your tikka masala should be a marinated grilled protein that's then stewed in your spiced sauce or covered with your spiced sauce. Though lots of recipes call for just stewing. You can totally make it at home, and you can adapt the recipe because it's not what I would call a very strict recipe.
All right. I have message received. I will try again. And I do, as someone who has made it at home before, I do highly recommend making it at home. It's one of those things where, at least in my case, I never thought about making it at home. It seemed difficult. And then when I did it, I was like, ah, what accomplishment. Delicious, delicious accomplishment.
Oh, yay. Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, what about the nutrition?
It depends on how you do make it. It can get kind of heavy with the cream and the ghee or butter or whatever fats you're using. And for sure, you know, it's best to pair it with a little bit more vegetables for a boost of vitamins and dietary fiber. But, you know, it's got a lot of protein and an at minimum decent amount of fat. So served with rice or bread, it will fill you up and it will keep you going. Just, you know, watch your portion sizes, eat a vegetable.
Always a proponent of eating a vegetable.
I am. Yeah.
Yes. And we do have some numbers for you, specifically when it comes to chicken tikka masala, or in the biz, as it's called, CTM. That's no joke. They use that all over the place when I was researching this. It's a popular dish all over, although some South Asians are disappointed by that fact, again, according to some very opinionated articles I read. According to The Economist, 2.5 billion pounds of the dish are consumed every year as of 2009, and it is one of the most popular dishes in the United Kingdom. I think it's in the top 10 most delivered dishes. Heinz sells a packaged version.
Oh, yeah. Hormel also makes one. There are lots of packaged versions out there, from like frozen and ready to heat and eat versions to like canned sauces to prepared spice blends. It really is quite a phenomenon, especially in the UK. Like Marks and Spencer sells prepackaged chicken tikka masala sandwiches. That's like if our like CVS or something had them. McDonald's added a version of chicken tikka masala to their limited time Indian inspired menu back in 2001. It's a whole thing.
It is a whole thing. And what else is a whole thing? Is the history and the debate around it?
Yeah, because if you couldn't tell, yes, this is more of a UK thing than an India thing. There's been some conversation about that.
Yeah, conversation. We'll say.
Yeah, and we will get into that. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, as we hinted at, the history of this one is highly debated and very contentious. Is it an Indian dish? Is it actually from Britain? Is it their riff on curry? Or is it specifically from Glasgow, Scotland? Because depending on who you ask, you will get just a huge variety of answers.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and opinions. One popular story does place the dish's origins to specifically the 1970s and specifically Glasgow, Scotland, as the creation of Pakistani chef Ali Ahmad Aslam. Aslam was the chef of a well-known authentic curry house in that city, Glasgow, called Shish Mahal. After a customer sent chicken back to the kitchen for being dry, Aslam, who was on an all-liquid diet due to an ulcer, added some tomato soup out of a can, story goes, spices to the dish, and then in some versions he added in yogurt based on the chicken tikka that he used to make and that he likes. And to his surprise, the customer loved it and became a regular customer and brought all of his friends and introduced all of his friends to this dish. And the word spread and the popularity grew. It was soon found out throughout the UK. And that is how that version goes. Mm-hmm. It is very popularly told, no legit proof at all.
Zero. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Not at all. Food critic Rahul Verma weighed in on the tikka masala debate with, it's basically a Punjabi dish, not more than 40, 50 years old, and must be an accidental discovery which has had periodical improvisations. According to him, he tasted what was basically chicken tikka masala as a street food in Uttar Pradesh earlier than this whole Glasgow story.
Okay.
Yes. But okay. In 2009, Labour MP Mohammed Sarwar formally requested that Parliament officially name Glasgow as the birthplace of chicken tikka masala, and the European Union protected geographical status that comes with it. Yeah, yeah. Like champagne level. That's what he wanted for chicken tikka masala.
Oh,
it did not make it to debate.
I think that's probably for the good of all of us.
Probably, Lauren. And this was after a 2001 attempt by the then Foreign Secretary of Britain to name chicken tikka masala as the national dish. And here is a quote. Chicken tikka masala is now a true Britain national dish, not only because it is the most popular, but because it is a perfect illustration of the way Britain absorbs and adapts external influences. Chicken tikka is an Indian dish. The masala sauce was added to satisfy the desire of British people to have their meat served in gravy.
And he meant this as a positive.
Very much.
To me... A perfect illustration of the way Britain absorbs and adapts external influences sounds a little bit negative when you consider colonialism.
Right.
But he meant it to be a positive.
He did. And it will come as no surprise that many people saw it like you, Lauren. Especially people from India who very much, some of them very much resented this, seeing it as something that the British stole during colonialism and brought back and maybe made it their own, but it still originated in India, and that maybe the British adapted it, but they were erasing the true history and painting that erasure with a positive brush of being multicultural. Some experts contend that the dish was a product of the British in British India, unable to handle the spice of chicken tikka.
So that's kind of like origin story number two.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, this whole thing was a whole to-do. Critics of the Foreign Secretary's praise called chicken tikka masala innocuous curry and accused the British at large of having an appetite for only, quote, the easiest form of exoticism.
Mm.
Also a magpie indiscriminacy.
Wow.
And amended insularity.
Those are some harsh takedowns.
Those certainly are. Those are quotes, by the way, from a book called Food Quality and Consumer Value, Delivering Food That Satisfies. And the latter two are further quoted in that from an article that doesn't appear to be online, but it's cited as being from The Times from 2001, the article being titled, Goodness Gracious, Chicken Tikka Smacks of Our Capability for Self-Delusion.
That's a pretty great title.
I wish I could read that article. It sounds like an absolute smash.
It does. We can dream one day, maybe.
Yeah.
From Lizzie Collingham's book, Curry, A Tale of Cooks and Conquerors, quote, "It was not a shining example of British multiculturalism, but a demonstration of the British facility for reducing all foreign foods to their most unappetizing and inedible forms."
Oh, snap.
Snap indeed.
Gosh, that is okay. Okay, you can say what you want to about the origins of chicken tikka masala, but it is not the least appetizing or the least edible form of anything.
That is pretty harsh, the least edible. But people, they got strong opinions about this.
They do. They do. It's true.
They
and that's
really
fair.
Do.
That's fair.
It's true. Okay, so yeah, there's that whole to-do, as you said. There is another popular story about chicken tikka masala's origins that argues that tikka masala was invented by someone of Bangladeshi descent in Britain. Food historians Colleen and Peter Grove are big proponents of this theory, pointing to a 1961 recipe from Balbir Singh's For Shahi Chicken Masala, published in the book Indian Cookery. Peter Grove claims that the Glasgow story was a rumor that he created to appease journalists.
Okay.
He got all right. So tired of like fielding calls about it, he just made up this story, according to him. The Groves also argued that butter chicken was the original chicken tikka masala and placed that dish's origins to a New Delhi restaurant called Moti Mahal that opened its doors in 1948. According to them, the chef worked with a local man to create the first tandoori spice mix, which was black pepper, ground coriander, and a mild red pepper. They then used that to marinate their chicken, and not wanting to waste the resulting flavored chicken juice, the cooks added butter and tomato to it.
The story here goes that the chef, Kundan Lal, was also the first person to use a tandoor oven, which is traditionally used for breads, to cook this marinated chicken.
And then this cooked cubed tandoori chicken was then tossed in that sauce. There you go, butter chicken. It was a pretty immediate hit, and it spread throughout the country, and from there, the world. So the story goes.
Yeah. But this story, experts in food history in this region do support the story. And today, Lal's grandson still owns the family restaurant and has like expanded the brand to 120 restaurants in India, plus franchises in the Middle East and Africa and New Zealand. He's also got cookbooks, all kinds of stuff going on. It's a really fascinating little slice.
Yeah. And then another piece of this chicken tikka masala puzzle is that in the 60s, there was an influx of Bangladeshi people to the United Kingdom, and many of them opened Indian restaurants with westernized dishes like chicken tikka masala. So there's that. Certainly from articles I read, there are some Indian chefs that said there's nothing called chicken tikka masala in India. Some argue that even so, it is still an Indian dish. It's just popular everywhere else but India. Hong Kong Indian restaurant owner Ashutosh Bisht makes the case that the tikka part goes back 5,000 years when the clay tandoor ovens were invented. The first emperor of the Mughal dynasty, Babur, he was worried about choking on bones, so he ordered his chefs to get rid of the bones during medieval times. That's when that probably would have happened. A chef at Delhi's Karim Hotel claimed that the 1961 recipe that we mentioned earlier has been passed down from generation to generation in his family, making it truly of Indian descent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot personally argue with any of these, but I love that that's officially 3.5, 4-ish
yeah.
origin stories.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people making claims.
They do. And at any rate, in 2015, the City Council in Salisbury, England, kind of put their foot in it really hard when they informed a local street food vendor that she could not sell chicken tikka masala at a St. George's Day celebration, which is the feast day for St. George, which is the patron saint of England, because they said this festival, all the dishes sold at it had to be English themed.
Oof.
So
oh, no.
And apparently, according to them, chicken tikka masala didn't make the grade. But there was a kerfuffle. They later apologized and invited her and her chicken tikka masala back. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know so many, like, recent, like, politicians trying to make it the national food. I got a kerfuffle at a St. George's Day celebration.
Yeah.
Wow. You know?
I had always just thought of it as a tasty comfort food, kind of warm and spicy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delicious with naan. Yeah. Yeah. I did not know.
And now we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we know that a lot of people have a lot of different theories. That's really all we can offer you at this juncture.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you have any information on the history of chicken tikka masala, I mean, we are all ears.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. And speaking of, we do have some listener mail for you.
Oh, we do. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with listener
mail.
That's my face when I realize that I'm not going to get to the bottom of a history section.
Oh, no.
I'll never know.
Mysteries, histories.
It's true. So many of them. So many of them. For our listener mail today, we have two messages about Girl Scout cookies, but in Canada.
Yes.
Aaron wrote, "Thank you for your lighthearted podcast about Girl Scout cookies. I have many friends in the USA and I'm always delighted to see the cookies sold by their daughters. I am a 25-year member of the Girl Guides of Canada and a mom of a brownie of my own. Every year in Canada, we also sell cookies, but the system is very different. We only have two kinds of cookies, which are each sold in their own season. Huh. Fall cookies are similar to a thin mint. They have a chocolate cookie base covered with a white mint cream layer, and the whole thing is covered in chocolate. These are often the best seller, and they freeze really well to pull out at Christmas." Spring cookies are sandwich cookies in two flavors, chocolate on chocolate, most similar to a Fudgio cookie. Well, that's news to me, Fudgio. And the vanilla is like vanilla Oreo. These cookies have remained virtually unchanged for 30 years, though they are now peanut-free guaranteed. So it is always entertaining to see all of the American flavors.
Huh. Oh, I like that. I like a good cookie tradition.
Yeah. Oh, you know I love a good cookie tradition. I live for a good cookie tradition.
Melissa wrote, "I recently listened to the podcast about Girl Scout cookies and remembered a time from my childhood when I was a girl guide, since we don't have Girl Scouts in Canada. In Canada, we only have chocolate mint, which is sold in the fall, and chocolate and vanilla sandwich ones that are sold in the spring. When I was in middle school, I was a pathfinder, girls in grades 7 to 9. My sisters were also in guides, girls in grades 4 to 6, and my mom was a guider in my sister's unit. That spring, the unit that my mom was with had several girls quit partway through the year, and the cookies were already ordered. When they arrived for the season, they were stacked in the entryway of the house. Because so many girls quit, we got stuck with the now extra cases of cookies and trying to sell them. It was around 20 cases of cookies stacked near the front door of our home. Because of this, we were selling them into the summer months. To this day, I only buy cookies from members that are in grade 7 and up because it is so much harder to sell them when you're no longer cute and adorable in your uniform."
I've never really thought about that aspect of it.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, if it, like a sassy fourth grader is like, "Buy cookies now," I'm like, "Okay, yes, ma'am. Like, here you go." If a seventh grader is like, "Cookies," I'm like, So, oh, but that's sad. Oh, no, definitely. Yes. Support all your local Girl Scouts, guides, brownies, yes, et cetera, whatever.
Yes.
Whatever the terminology is.
I'm definitely, again, I don't really buy them because I'm a terrible person, but I do send the links to all my friends and I let them know. So I'm going to keep Yeah, no matter the age.
You're supportive. You're a cookie supporter.
I am a cookie supporter. A proud cookie supporter. Thanks to both of those listeners for writing to us. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.